Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, the 4WD podcast driven by Shelter. I just thought I'd let the Southern River Band let it ride. Just let it ride out a little bit there, because we don't hear much of the song, so I just thought...
Should we just go to whole song?
Yeah, let's just play it for 3 minutes or however long it goes for, and then we'll start. But we are the 4WD podcast. We're driven by Shelter. Our socials, 4WD podcast on Instagram. All our episodes over at Backchat. I realise I'm swinging on my chair as I do the intros these days, Ronnie.
It's hard to sit still.
It is. It's a nice little swirly chair.
Mate, how you been? Early into the new year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mate, very good. I'm being a concrete cowboy right now.
I like the look. Oh, mate, it feels like we're camping. When I see you in that hat, I'm like, oh, that's right. Ronnie was wearing that on the trip back from Adelaide. It's nice to see you in the... It's an Akubra.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a proper... It's a real deal.
Yeah, yeah. It's my first Akubra. I bought another one as well. Different style, but right. I always go back to this one.
The thing I like about this one is there's room to store things.
Yes.
In the top.
Yes.
Do you keep anything in there?
Lots of hair.
Ah, is that right?
Well, hair grows fast.
I like something for you, Duggo. Nice shirt.
King Stingray. Big fan.
Yeah.
Thank you. Big fan of King Stingray. Heard them, Ronnie?
No. Did they partner up with the Atlantic cul-de-sac?
Nice one. We were just talking about Pacific Avenue off air, who were playing down in at Shelter Brewing Co. down in Busselton, and Pacific Avenue, and then Ronnie came in with the worst dad joke ever and said, do they collab with Atlantic cul-de-sac?
Atlantic cul-de-sac. It's a good name for a band.
Literally had to take 2 minutes before we started recording to get over that one.
That was a good one. I really enjoyed that one.
But yeah, big fan of King Stingray. Jaden, I got you on board,
yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah, you did. You did. What was it? Yellow coming back across
the cover. Yeah, that was a really the really good one. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Worth a listen.
No.
Band from Arnhem Land.
For a while.
They're from Arnhem Land. Like,
and we shouldn't go into that
band.
Then.
And they're a band. That's their home. Great. So Ronnie's turned into a comedian in 2024.
Good episode,
yeah. There we go. I'm looking forward to seeing Atlantic cul-de-sac down at Shelter.
They're playing after Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, that must be.
The weekend before Easter.
Yes.
They'll be down in Buffington. Nice. So get your tickets.
Yes. Did I mention we're driven by Shelter? Making sure I've covered all bases.
Sure, yeah, no.
All right,
driven by Shelter, 4WD podcast.
Yeah, I did.
King
I did.
Stingray.
Yeah, King Pacific Stingray. Avenue. We like them all.
Yeah, we
Atlantic
did.
Atlantic cul-de-sac.
Southern River Band.
Southern River Band.
All right, let's get into what we're here to talk about, which is WA Adventures.
Yes.
Now, people might be thinking we've heard a lot about WA and all this and all that, but
it's so big.
It's a big joint, and we love it. You love it. I'm a Victorian, born and raised. Come over here and I love it. I'm on board with WA. But, mate, we're going to break it down a little bit. So, like you said, it's massive. It's a lot going on. There's 27 cities, 102 shires and 8 towns that make up WA. This is all Jaden's stuff here. A city is predominantly urban with 7 significant regional centres.
Oh.
A shire is predominantly rural or outer suburban area. A town is a predominantly inner urban area. So, WA has 9 regions excluding the Perth metro area. the Kimberley, Pilbara, Gascoyne, Midwest, Wheatbelt, Peel, Southwest, Great Southern, and Goldfields Esperance. Now, a lot of me talking. This is where you come in, Ronnie.
Was that nine?
Yeah, because I went twice round on that hand. Outside of Perth, so the non-metro area, there are seven cities. Can you get all of them?
Oh, okay. Seven cities. Jane, so they have to have seven?
So a city is predominantly urban with seven significant regional centres.
Okay. Let's start with Geraldton.
Jot these down.
Correct.
Carnarvon. Uh-oh. Is Carnarvon not on there? Oh, no. Karratha.
Yep.
Esperance. It's not on there.
No.
Esperance's not on there.
Esperance isn't on there.
Oh, this is tricky, man. Bunbury.
Yep.
Busselton won't be on there.
Busselton won't be on there?
It's part of Bunbury, though.
Is it on there?
Well, Shelter's there. That should be enough to pass as a shire.
Busselton's on there just purely.
Busselton's on there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Broome? Really?
No, no Broome.
Wow.
Ooh. We're stumped him here.
Yeah. Newman? Well, just no. Seven.
No.
No.
You're just blowing smoke up my ass, mate.
Wow.
Not Newman.
Now I reckon you're missing three. There's a big one
Albany.
You're missing. Yeah.
Albany.
Got to be there, doesn't it?
How's Esperance down on there?
Ooh, here we go. Oh, another
Cal
big
one.
Yep.
Got to be Cal. And is that one more?
There's one more.
There's one more.
There's one more.
There's one more. Oh, could it be Port Hedland?
No.
No. I said Karratha. Oh, it can't be Kununurra. Surely not.
I'm actually...
It can't be Exmouth.
Both of you can guess.
Oh.
Because, Dago, you don't know.
I know. I think I know. Is it Mandurah?
It is Mandurah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Not really.
I include that in the Perth metropolitan area.
Yeah, just about, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, technically it's outside of the Perth metropolitan
area. It's in Peel,
area,
right?
But yeah. It's in the Peel region.
Yep.
Hmm.
But there you go. That's
not bad, but I thought you might have cleaned that up a bit quicker, to be honest.
The seven thing threw me off.
Yeah. I reckon there'd be people out there listening and watching just going, bang, Ronnie doesn't know what he's talking about.
I reckon there's people going...
I'm exposed on that one.
None of that is true.
So does that mean hospital, police station, post office, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. That's actually a good question. Let me have a Google on that.
Can guarantee you all of them have a McDonald's.
Yeah, they do. I think I've been to all of them.
Or multiple.
Maybe that is it. Newman doesn't have a McDonald's.
I reckon there's like something about that. I don't know what the thing is, but it's like there needs to be...
it must be part of the list.
Macca's needs to be... To be at Macca's in a town, you need to have like a certain amount of population. And that otherwise they won't... apart from like a freeway.
Maybe it's a Macca's and a Hungry Jack's.
Maybe. I don't know what the technicalities are there, but something around that. Anyway.
There is a Macca's in each one, though.
I reckon there would be, yeah. Kalgoorlie's got a Macca's.
It definitely is. I've been to every single one of them. More than once.
What's the order?
Depends what time of the day.
Ah, okay.
Because
dinner. What's your dinner order?
Oh, dinner? You're
a very healthy man, though, too. So
yeah,
I'm surprised.
I know. Yeah, but I usually go McAngus, large McAngus meal with a large soda water. The fries I won't have. I'll hand them to my passenger.
I knew. There's always...
Jono will get the fries. Or Torb's.
Yeah.
And then maybe an extra cheeseburger in the mix there.
Yeah. Oh, so two burgers, no chips.
Yeah, two burgers, no chips.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah.
Not as good as I thought.
Still not good for you, though. But so delicious. When you're heading out bush and it's the last Macca's you can get, it's like, you know what? I don't have to cook tonight.
Take it, yeah. Good point. Now, well done, mate, because that was an on-the-spot little quiz. So, thank you for being involved. Yeah. But I've got a couple of pictures of the maps up here of WA, and when we say it's massive, it is massive. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Jaden. He looks busy over there on the laptop. I'm going to ask him back in here.
Always go.
The Shire of East Pilbara, is that the biggest shire in the world?
We covered this, right? I'm pretty sure it's the biggest shire in the world.
Okay.
It's definitely, yeah. Is it bigger
can you guess how big it is?
Is it bigger than the state of Texas?
Oh, it's twice the size of the UK.
Twice the size of the UK.
Wow. Answer that with a different...
Okay, so it's twice the size of the Great Woodlands in Western Australia. So the Great Woodlands is the size of England.
So I thought that was the Shire. Well, so that's a Shire.
England's different to the UK.
Oh, United you said... Kingdom. Did you say UK? Or, yeah. Okay. All right.
Twice the size of the UK, yeah. Because I thought where the Woodlands is a Shire of Dundas. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, it's part of that. It stretches.
I thought that was the biggest, and I've been...
Stretches Goldfield, stretches...
Yeah. I've been... anyway, I've been beaten on that one. But why I'm asking is I want to touch on the Pilbara a little bit, and I know we've covered it. I love it. I know you love it.
It's the forgotten place.
Yeah. And it's a little bit further. It's a little bit harder to get to. But when you think of the Pilbara, I think a lot of people think mining. They think red dirt and rock, hot, no water.
They're all correct except for the no water thing.
Yeah, there is a lot of water there. So a few things around the Pilbara. Like Jaden said, it's twice the size of the UK. It encompasses a big area up north stretching from the NT across to just above Exmouth. So it's that whole way to the coast, which I didn't realise the Pilbara went to. It's covered obviously in a few different shires, but the Pilbara region is that whole stretch. And Marble Bar is basically the hottest place in Australia where it can reach 50 degrees.
It's pretty hot there.
Numerous days in a row. Really.
So, sorry to cut you off, Dago.
You are.
The Shire of East Pilbara is how many thousand square kilometres?
510.
Well,
1,000 square kilometres.
372,000 square kilometres.
What?
Are you guys having a discrepancy here on the internet?
No. So, it is bigger than Texas.
Oh, hang on,
Texas is 268,596 square miles. Oh, wow. Hang on. Oh,
calculator.
No, there we go. 695,660 square kilometers. So Texas is... Oh,
hang on, how many miles?
268,596.
Times
1.6. Well, I've got... Yeah. Shire of East Pilbara, 372,571 square kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
What's 510,000 square kilometres?
Yeah, that's a good...
Jade's giving me false information. That might be the Pilbara's whole. Bail out. and that's it. No, you might have given me the whole Pilbara at 510,000 square kilometres.
Yeah, but that'd be the whole Pilbara. This is just East Pilbara.
So you're including Karratha and Ashburton?
Yep. And then
there's one more.
Which was Port Hedland area.
Yeah, that's part of the East Pilbara though. One of them's part Karratha's his own. And I think I'm pretty sure that Port Hedland is part of the
You could be right.
Part of the East Pilbara.
There's two shires and two cities.
Oh, there's only two shires.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought there's a third one.
Ashburton.
Yeah, so Ashburton's a shire, East Pilbara is a shire, and then the other two are cities.
Yeah, okay, righto.
Yes, yes. I believe. And the main centre for East Pilbara is Newman, and the main centre for Ashburton is Tom Price.
Yeah,
righto.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha.
But Onslow is a coastal town of Ashburton.
Yep.
You got two ways to get to the Karajuni, essentially, in Ashburton. So, Karajuni is part of Ashburton.
Yep, that's at the far east of Ashburton.
Yep, and Millstream National Park as well, to Chester.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which you would say are two of the better places you can visit in that area, the Pilbara.
Awesome. It's awesome. So, it's good to think of the Pilbara as a collective, but a lot of that stuff is actually in They call it the heart of the Pilbara.
Yep.
So that's where all the Karajuni and all that is. And East Pilbara is kind of more like huge. It's got, crosses the deserts, all that stuff as well.
Yep.
So they both offer kind of extreme differences in a way, I'd say. But they do offer both of them beautiful waterholes everywhere.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go to the Pilbara, you don't just go to do the Ashburton, you go to do both, I reckon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Righto. So what's the coast like? Because I've been to Karajuni a couple of times. I've never done Millstream. I've been to Newman, a few little spots around there. I've been out to Jigalong, so that's as far sort of east as I've been.
That's pretty deep though.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that was awesome to head out that way.
Yeah.
And Nullagine as far as north as I've been.
Yep.
Yeah, on that sort of, I've obviously been up past there, but stuck to the coast. But what I didn't do is, because the road goes a little bit inland when you go past Onslow and stuff, yes, like that, what's the coast like around that area? Because that's something that I don't think people would realise is an option for you.
Yeah, the coast, you can get to that up near Onslow. Yep. And look, there is the 80 Mile Beach. I haven't been to 80 Mile Beach yet. It's a beach I want to go to.
Right.
So most of the coastline will be in the East Pilbara.
Yeah.
But okay, there is the only coastline I've really been to proper, like I have been to the coastline, but I haven't really camped there.
Yep.
But I have camped up near Onslow,
right,
off to the west side of Onslow. There's a couple of tracks.
Yep.
So you got to cross the Ashburton River. If it's flowing, you have to go the long way, because if it flows, it gets deep.
Yep.
It flows this red water. It's freaking awesome, actually.
I think I've seen the video of that, actually, where you go out to where the river's...
Yeah, where the river mouth comes out, yep, and you got all that silty red water and just mixing with that electric blue.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Cool vision.
It's awesome. And then you've got this little peninsula that we wanted to drive out on to get like a nice drone shot, but also just to be out there to see where the water, yep, was, you know, merging. And it got a little bit, a little bit sketchy there. So, it's wicked. To swim in, a lot of people get worried about swimming in that water. Right. Yeah, you do have to, obviously, you take a bit of care, you know, box jellyfish and things like that, but still fine.
Yep, yep.
The tides aren't as bad as the Kimberley.
Further north, yeah.
And when I say bad's the wrong word, tides in the Kimberley are awesome. But the tides do fluctuate a bit more than on the west coast.
Right. Yep.
But apart from that, it's just a nice sunny area. Just want to be at the right time of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So like that like I said, I didn't realise the Pilbara stretched to the coast. So when you think of the Pilbara, don't just think of red dock. red rock and dirt. You've got that part of the coastline which basically stretches from a little bit south of Onslow all the way up to sort of Port Hedland area. And around Karratha, I know there is some the Dampier archipelago off the coast of Karratha there, which is some of the best fishing that you can do. And the locals mightn't appreciate me saying that, but I know that there's some, I'm not a fisherman, but there are some serious fish to catch off that coast. So if that's what you're into,
Mackerel Islands as well.
Yeah, right.
In Onslow.
Well, there's actually, we've got, there is part of the Pilbara, Barrow Island. That's actually highlighted as part of the Shire of Ashburton too. So there you go. I'll take you off the coast now, Ronnie, to Millstream. So tell me about Millstream.
Millstream is kind of like...
which I haven't visited. I'd love to.
It's awesome. It's like... You got to really follow the map. So we actually did a project up there for Ashburton. So we went up there and they gave us all these hot spots to go to. We got in contact with a lot of locals. One guy even took us up in his plane to sort of scout out where we could go and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got flooded out a couple of times because the rain just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It was wet season. We, in fact, were camping... I would say on the fringe of a riverbed. It's just the river rose so high, hadn't run for 8 years. The lady was like, no, you'll be right on that side. And we're like, oh, no, we got it flooded out down at Emu Creek, which is now shut. We got flooded out at Emu Creek the night before, so I think we'll just stay on this side. And then, sure enough, wake up and the river's like up, is lapping the swag. It was lapping the swag. So I got up and I was like...
Panic stations.
Yeah, I was like, oi, the river's up. The river's... It's rising. Move your swags. And then one of the young guys that was with us, being a photographer, he's like, he must have been in his swag going, oh, what's he on about now? He would have gone out and he goes, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So we were dragging swags, moving cars, packing stuff up. So it's a pretty incredible area. Things can happen. I know I've gone off track here, but that was at Chila Plains. And
Chila
Plains.
Right.
So, you know how you got like caravan parks and things like that?
Yep.
Well, station stays. There's a few up there.
Right.
Station stays are awesome. It's more like it's in between a campground and a caravan park.
Yep.
But some offer a key to a gate where you can go and stay proper camping.
Yep.
And that's one of the places Chila Plains offers that.
Yeah, okay, righto.
Massive cattle station.
So, a good option for around that Millstream area.
Yeah, yeah.
Chila Plains.
I do some good bloody carrot cake too.
Yeah, right, there you go.
I'm not a big carrot cake kind of person, but there's some good carrot
when you're
cake
out
there.
I feel like a bit of carrot cake would be quite nice.
telling you. So back to Millstream. You want to go and you want to check out George Gorge.
Yep. George Gorge.
George Gorge.
Like it.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorge. Gorge.
It's, good luck with that one.
Epic place. Depending on the time of the year, means you can either cross the river or you want to take the chance to cross the river. It's probably the better way of saying it.
Yep.
Or you can only get so far and still stay in an amazing place because you've got to cross the river 1, 2, 3 times to get the trifecta, but you only have to cross it twice to get one of the most epic campsites ever. It is so cool. Big red rock, water you can swim in, deep water as well, fresh water. And if it's flowing, it's going to be even fresher.
Yep.
There won't be any stagnant, mozzies, stuff like that.
Yep.
Beautiful place. But there's other places dotted around there as well. There's also Serpentine Falls or Serpentine... Python Pool. Python Pool. Serpentine Falls around the corner from me.
Yeah, that's I feel like I'm closer than that.
It's all the way down here. No. So Python Pool's epic.
Yeah, right.
It's this big, you're in this gorge and it's just this big cliff face around you and you got like this little pebble beach and you can go and you sit still for long enough, you get fish, they'll just start chewing on your feet.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Freaks. Is that like one of those things that people pay a lot of money for that you can just go and stick your feet and they give them a clean or something?
I think people would pay a lot of money for that, but yeah, it kind of freaks you out a little bit. So definitely don't do any nude swimming.
get another toe chewed on. So that's I've just typed in Millstream Chichester
Millstream National Park.
And there's on Explore Parks WA government website, but really informational and
you can jump on the Ashburton Shire website.
Ashburton Shire, which I've got up as well, which is bloody awesome. So that'll give you all your campgrounds, what you need to know.
Any of the visitor centres you go to, Tom Price or Onslow, they'll actually give you a physical map you can take and it actually has the exact location of where we went.
Yeah, cool.
But that's just one place. There's another place in there, I forgot what it's called now, and people listening to this are going to go, mate, you didn't mention this spot and I can't remember what it's called, but we tried to go to twice, we couldn't because it was just too flooded.
Right.
Damn, I forgot what it's called.
It's
another really popular place there. But there's also Panna Gorge. Panawanica.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a town, Panawanica. That town is owned by Rio Tinto. It's run by Rio Tinto. Yep. So everyone who works in the shops and everything, it's run by Rio Tinto. It's interesting place to go. We caught up with the locals.
Yep.
Went to the local sporting club there one night.
Yeah, right.
But nearby the water was flowing. We got to Panna Gorge. That was absolutely incredible.
Right.
It was so beautiful. Another place you're going through rivers, and it changes all the time.
Yep.
So it's a bit of an adventure whenever you go, just trying to find places.
Yep. Yep. Well, I'll skip along now to Carrageenie. The next thing
I
suppose, if we're moving inland further, Carrageenie's next on the list, which I've done a couple of times myself. Same thing, you can go over to just type in Carrageenie National Park, Parks and Wildlife WA. They're all over it with all the information you need to know. But this place I feel is, now obviously I haven't done Millstream, but I feel like Carrageenie is very accessible for anyone that wants to go there.
It is.
The roads are very corrugated. It's
Summer.
Bitumised roads, the main sort of arteries are, but I've seen some pretty average, smallish vehicles doing the corrugations where the corrugations are much bigger than the wheels dipping into them. But people get through because you are treated to some of the best swimming holes and most beautiful scenery that you could ever ask for in what is a red rock and dirt.
Yeah.
That's all there is there apparently. But you get one look in Carrageenie, you realise that you're in a pretty special place. I'm assuming that's the same with Millstream, but...
It's actually different. Like Carrageenie is probably more mountainous.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that area actually is home to WA's tallest mountain.
Yeah. A lot of people think top 10.
Bluff Knoll is the biggest in WA, but it's...
Is that 9th on a list or something? Or 11th?
I don't know. I'm not too sure. Maybe Jaden can get that up for us. But it's like it, you are surprised when you drive through the area at some of the as flat as WA is.
Yeah,
there are actually some tall towers.
Well, you notice them because it's so flat.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but it is another beautiful place, and like I say, parks and wildlife here are all over it. It's obviously a paid campsite through there usually. There's a few sort of campsites around the edges though that you might be able to find.
There's some of those 24-hour stops, you know.
Yeah, righto, yeah.
They have toilets and things like that, but you're better off, if you want to spend a couple of days, you're better off just going to one of those campsites.
Yep.
And look, everything's within reach. I mean, you could, like, if you're a caravan type of person, you could always base yourself out of Tom Price or even Onslow and then just do day drives. I know for Tom Price, it's not that big a day drive.
Yep.
Onslow can be quite a bigger day drive. Yeah. So you want to see that region there, but Tom Price is pretty centered.
Yep.
To Karajuni. But there's two sides to Karajuni. There's a side that not many people know about and it's not controlled per se.
Yep.
So you got the one side that we were just talking about where there's, you know, you can get two-wheel drives in.
Yep.
All the water holes and stuff. But the other side, which you have to get to from Parabadu.
Yep.
That has a place called Magic Pool. Now, Ashburton have this on their map as well.
Right.
That place is epic. Epic. Now, our good mate Lekka,
yep,
went there recently as well, using the map. Wicked place.
Right.
Yeah.
Magic Pool.
Magic Pool. Magic Pool. Awesome place. And it's not like there's one place that's called Magic Pool where there's water all year round. And you have this reflection from the red rock onto the water. Beautiful place. And a drive-in is fantastic as well. When we went, we were lucky enough to have the Toorey Creek running. It wasn't just running. It was flowing. It was flooding.
Yeah, yeah.
So we actually had a little bit of PTSD from a few days before from all the flooding and having to move camp like 2 days in a row. So this is third day in a row. There's water coming through. And all the dry creek beds we went through, they were all like wet on the way out.
Right, okay.
But we were like there going, oh, man, we're so good to camp here, but we better get out because we don't know how high this river's going to rise.
Yeah,
so, and then we went to play in the day after and sure enough, it was flowing pretty hard still.
Yep.
But that side is not really controlled. Not many people know about it. You've got to have a proper four-wheel drive and you've got to know, you got to be an experienced four-wheel driver to go there. So therefore, I'm not so worried about sharing this place because it's a long way to go. And I do encourage people, if you're going that far and you are prepared, and you know what you're doing, go in there.
Yep.
Because it's awesome.
Yep. No, it's good. And there's a few, like a lot of the more accessible, gorges to visit, Hammersley Gorge, Weno Gorge, Dales Gorge, which is where the main campground is in Karajuni, Fortescue Falls, Fern Pools, sort of part of that Dales Gorge area. And then Jaden's added here, plenty of places to stay. And there obviously is your free camping. And then there's the Karajuni Eco Retreat as well, if you want to glamp it up a little bit too. So our good friends over at Overland Travelers just did a video on the Pilbara where they free camp the whole way, I believe. So that might be worth going to have a look. And here it is. Bluff Knoll is 13th tallest. Well done, Jaden. 13th. Very clean. The biggest is Mount Meharry, which is...
You can drive to that one.
You can drive up Mount Meharry?
You can drive to the top of it.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Let's just...
did that twice in the 79 and once in the Hilux.
Right.
It is one section that's a bit sketch, but if you get your wheel placement right and you got people spotting you, it's fine. Actually, there's two sections now because it is getting a bit cut up. But the cool thing is they don't go and bulldoze it. It's awesome.
Right. So that's right on the... it's kind of on the southeastern corner of Karajuni.
Yeah.
Park.
The southeast west and that's, corner.
That's why you got to come to WA and you got to go to Karajuni. You got to go to Ashburton because you can drive to the highest point in Australia. You can drive, park your car.
In Western Australia.
Well, in Western Australia. Yeah, sorry. In Western Australia.
Just so people don't get too excited. We're Virgin and Qantas won't be able to keep up.
Yeah, yeah. So we just moved Mount Kosciuszko to WA.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, but it is a good point.
1,000 metres bigger, Mount Kosciuszko. Yeah.
Oh, is that all?
Nah. Yeah, no,
that's quite. Nothing, mate.
You can see it from the top of Mount Harry, they reckon.
You know what's interesting, though? Out of the top 20 tallest mountains or hills in WA. Bluffnoll is the only one that doesn't start with Mount. They're all Mount Meharry, Mount Bruce, Mount McLeod, Mount Frederick. Mount Newman is 20th. 22nd is... can you guess what 22nd is?
What, the mountain?
What it's called.
Mount Dale?
No.
Is it a rock?
No.
No.
It's called the Governor.
The Governor.
Hello, Governor. I'm pretty sure I can drive the Governor, and that's in Carrageenie.
Jeez. Let's have a look. The Governor.
And there's another one you can drive as well. Mount Nameless, you can...
Governor.
Mount Nameless. Oh, is that the one where it's like...
Yeah, but there's another one. There's a second biggest one.
There's some good ones. There's some good, like, road names to get there as well. It's like Nameless Road or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys been to Shark Bay, where they've got Useless Loop?
Yes. Useless Loop Road.
Best name.
That's cool.
Yeah.
On those two national parks, I just want to mention that they're quite sacred areas to the traditional owners and the Aboriginal people of that area. So there are a few signs up around the parks, definitely in Carrageenie. Can't speak for Millstream, but I'm assuming it would be the same. So just be respectful in those areas would be my advice. I think at Dale's Gorge or Fortescue, I think it is their pool, Fern Pool, sorry. I think it's like keep your noise to a minimum sort of thing and maybe don't even go towards a waterfall or something like that. Like there's some sacred
And
spots there for the Aboriginal people.
Yeah, there is. And regretfully, I wasn't aware of some of these.
Yes. So, yeah. I think the first time I went, there weren't the signs, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. There weren't signs there either when we went. Yeah. But people pulled me up on when, because we obviously went there.
Yep.
And I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I do find, I just kind of like assumed that it was all good because it's such a popular area.
Yeah, which but you do, yeah.
It just turns out, you know, like lesson learned.
Yep.
There are some other places as well where only men can go in and only women can go in.
Right.
And there's also like Queen Desert Baths was at near Geelong.
Okay.
That one, there's certain pools behind you're not supposed to go to and things. Yep. So there's a lot of things. So it really does pay to do a lot of research. Yeah. And even when you do that, you may have missed a few things.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose if there is something there telling you, that's probably just respect the wishes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is good to have them signed as well. Yes, because definitely. A lot of people just end up passing and like, let's camp here for the night and check this out.
Now, let's move a bit further east again. Now, I don't know a lot. Like I said, I've been to Geelong, which is about 2 hours from Newman roughly and almost directly east. So we're starting to get into the middle of things here.
Is it only 2 hours?
2 hours 45.
Two and a bit, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 2 hours 46, if we're going to be real precise.
You've been timing it, have you?
You know, back when I lived up in the Pilbara, I would ride my bike over there.
just to the store and back to get a bottle of milk.
Mate, it took 2 days to get back out of there.
You didn't know the shortcuts like me, mate.
Yeah, local knowledge.
Local knowledge.
Yeah, talk to us about this area. What do you know about this area, Ronnie? Because I don't know a lot. And there's a lot of Aboriginal communities through this area too, east of Newman. Again, beautiful, beautiful place.
Completely different as well.
But completely different to what you see sort of on the western side of Newman.
Yeah. We're now desert country.
Yep.
But with some really spectacular hidden water holes and stuff as well.
Yes, yep.
So if you go up the Nullagon and you take Skull Springs Road, it takes you down towards... Caroline Gorge.
Yep.
Beautiful spot. Just be aware if you walk down to the water that you may sink to your knees or waist in mud.
Oh, right.
Trying to get into the water and there are ladders there, but if you're not aware of them ladders, then you end up waist deep first.
Right.
And that's hilarious, actually. So you can always encourage your mates, hey, just do a runner and jump in. They'll get like 2 steps and sink. But that place is absolutely amazing. Well worth a visit, well worth to camp there as well. But we had a camp set up at a place called Running Waters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wicked place. That has a spring, so it's 25 degree water.
Yep.
This particular time in the Pilbara, we were there in winter, and that was beautiful. Hop in the water, you jump out. You don't have to worry about any dirt in your feet because it's all river rock, and then you have a fire as well. Beautiful. Then further on, you end up towards Quezadeen Desert Queen Bath. Yep. This is towards Cotton Creek, down that way.
Oh, yeah.
Down towards Jigalong.
Yep.
Now, some of these areas you do need to get permission for. So there's two mine sites.
Right.
And then there's
this is a good point, actually, just mention the mine sites, because there are a lot scattered throughout the area, so you do need to be careful if you stumble across them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then there's also, you can't just go into Jigalong without without permission from the I think it's the Matu people, isn't it?
Yes, the Matu people, yeah.
The Matu people. We didn't go into Jigalong, but we just passed through Cotton Creek.
Yep.
And that's in the, was it Kalamati National Park, isn't it?
Yes,
formerly
it is.
Formerly known as Rudal River.
Yeah, I don't know that one, actually.
Yeah, well, actually, formerly known as Kalamati, then it was called Rudal River, and then now it's got its traditional name back.
Yep. Yeah, it is. How'd you say it? That's good.
It kind of sounds like calamari, but it's
Kalamati.
Kalamati.
Yeah.
Kalamati.
It's good. That's how it looks.
Could be completely wrong.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Hopefully, I said it right. Hopefully, I've done it justice. beautiful place.
So awesome. Just south of Telfer.
Yeah. 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 And at Desert Queen Baths, amazing. We rolled in the dark, as tends to happen sometimes, and woke up in the morning and was like, wow, this is surrounded by all this red rock and stuff. It's so amazing. Yeah.
The colours of that part, so the colours in Karajini when we were camping there were beautiful. We had the summer storm come in too, and
it just intensifies.
And then the green just pops when the sun just starts to go down, because the clouds are passed so quickly and the dingoes start coming out. It's just a beautiful place, but I don't think it can beat the sunset. We were on our way from Nullagine to Jigalong, and I don't think it can beat the sunset that we were provided with out there, because it was just a completely different level. It felt like we were really, really remote. The only people watching the sun, felt like we were the only people watching the sun go down out there. And it was just an incredible, it was probably my favourite sunset to date.
Yeah, you probably were from that particular point we saw it.
Yeah, well, it's just us and a little bit of livestock, but it's like you say, the colours out there.
It's phenomenal.
It's just it's something else.
You can't explain it. It's like golden hour times.
Yeah, on free. Steroids. Yeah, yeah. And everyone we've spoken to over. So that's a bit aggressive there. I saw it Ronnie's eyes were like taken to my hands. Like, settle down. But everyone we've spoken to over our journey with the four-wheel drive shows and people love the desert, and I think it's because of that.
Yeah.
I've only scraped the surface of what the desert is, but I think it's the colours and what you don't expect to see that you do see out there.
It's the colours. It's the feeling of remoteness. It's the dingoes.
Yeah.
Dingoes make it.
Yeah, really do. That's a cool feel.
Especially at night.
Yeah. We had a dingo at Karajini just sitting at our feet. We couldn't, obviously, we didn't want to scare it away or anything, but I think it was a pretty young pup, and it just can't. And around that campground there.
Yeah, probably relying on scraps.
Yeah, they obviously know what they're doing around that campground. They come down as soon as the sun goes down. But sitting at our feet. And there's a lot of warning signs up about the dingoes around there, but it's such a cool experience to be that close to a dingo.
Yeah.
And we couldn't really get rid of it. Like, we'd just sort of, we'd move and it would go back a bit further, get a little bit startled, and then it would sort of creep its way back in, and it was just about under the table.
They're almost like curious, like a cat almost.
Yeah. But I think that they're probably used to it a little bit in that little space there. Cause
in those areas, they definitely will be, but... Like, even on the tracks at night, particularly at night when you're driving, all of a sudden there could be like a dingo there, but when you get out, there's dingoes all around, but I think they're a bit more confident when there's more numbers around as well.
Yeah, seems that way.
Yeah, but definitely wouldn't be bringing a dog. I mean, you can't anyway, it's a national park, but if you brought your dog out there, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Yes, no, not at all. Now, that little area that we're... No, it's not a little area. It's a big, wide area.
Bigger than Texas, possibly.
No. Forget the math.
Not bigger than Texas.
It's not.
No.
You did the calculation.
Oh, yeah, I've done the... Yeah, it's not. Just to clarify that. It's not bigger than Texas.
Almost as big as Texas?
Oh, it's like 250,000 square kilometers shorter, smaller than Texas.
Ooh. Oh, that's a fair bit.
It's a fair bit.
Texas is in the Shire of East Pilbara?
That's literally just the Shire of East Pilbara.
Okay, yeah. So we're not including the whole Pilbara.
It's, if you're including the whole Pilbara, it's 100 and something thousand square kilometers short.
Oh, okay.
But it's not. Yeah. Texas is bigger.
Yeah, okay.
But right-o. Twice the size of the UK. Is still pretty
We've got
good
that. We've got that.
My eyes.
It's all right. WA is probably
Yeah, it's only a small part of WA, put it that way.
Yeah. There's just so much out there.
When you zoom out.
I popped out. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you're right. You still hear me, mate?
Yeah, I still got you.
Moving through this area, we're obviously heavily Pilbara-focused here at the moment, but moving through that area, now the reason I wanted to work this way is because to me and to us, there's probably not a lot much past some of those Aboriginal communities, mining communities. There's obviously some really remote Aboriginal communities and mines out even further east, but the one thing that is out there is the Canning Stock Route, which is coming up for you next year.
Yep.
Now,
this year.
Yes, this year.
All right, here we go.
Now, the one thing I want to work with is we're moving east, and the reason I'm doing this is because the Canning Stock Route is coming up for you this year. Now, tell me what the path is to actually get to the Canning Stock Route. Now, I'm assuming you're going south to north?
Yes.
South to north.
Wiluna.
So you're going to start in Wiluna. You're going to head up to Halls Creek where it finishes.
Yeah, to Wolf Creek, then Halls Creek.
Wolf Creek, then Halls Creek. And you're passing through the very east of the East Pilbara Shire. Yes. What's the plan on the way back? How do you access the Canning Stock Route, basically?
Okay, so, four permits just for land to start it. So that's in a process right now.
Yep.
Filming permits. Getting in touch with locals as well.
Yep.
But the path is pretty much 1.5 day drive to Wiluna.
Yep.
I'll do that in one day, but the rest who are coming with me will do it in a day and a half, I'd assume. I just give them a place to meet so I can, yeah. And then it's 14 days due north. Pop out the top. Then it's take the car to the Broome.
Yep. All right.
I've got a compound I can leave it at. Then I'm going to fly back because the troopy is going to go, it's going to dot around Australia.
Right, of course. Yeah. So that's starting to be, right.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of the big start of the lap.
Yeah.
Now, it might not be a clean lap. It might be like a...
It's just standard for you.
Mr. Squiggle.
I wouldn't expect anything else from you, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, a few other opportunities have popped up in remote WA. So, but then also NT...
Right.
So there's a few things happening that are in the process and we're just trying to work it out. And so that's what that's looking like. Okay.
So what I want to center on now is the East Pilbara Shire, I'm pretty sure, is home to the most remote town in Australia.
Ooh.
Which is, I'm going to say this wrong, Kirakara. I know that's going to be pronounced incorrectly, so apologies for that. But I'm pretty sure that is the most remote town. Jaden, just check it for me. The most remote town in Australia.
You got the okay? You got the thumbs up for that one?
I'm checking it.
Oh, he's checking it.
He gave the thumbs up that he's checking it. but I reckon that's where you'll pass through on the Canning Stock Route, I think.
Oh, for fuel?
I think there is potentially fuel there, but I think you will go through that town. I'm hoping you do, but I'm not sure. But that is, as we moved east from the coast... That is what I want to finish with on the Pilbara is the Kirakara community, which is the most remote community in Australia. How are you going there, Jaden?
I've got is it's been described as the most remote community in Australia.
Okay. And the reason for that is it's hard to determine what is because...
Well, I'm going to say here that this is pretty remote because I'll turn that around to you.
Yeah.
Check out where that is.
Yeah, that's remote.
So that's where I'm assuming that's where you're going. I think it goes through.
Yeah,
I think you'll go through there.
Yeah, because that's close to that big lake out there.
Yep.
So
we go near it anyway.
It's hard to say what is and what isn't because there's also a debate about the Amberdale Highway, or the Canning Stock Route. They're both like arguably the most remote.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But is there a community on the Amberdale?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is.
Well, no, there's a roadhouse that serves two communities.
Ah, righto.
A south and a north one.
Yep.
Okay. And there are three traditional landowner permits you need, and then there's a military zone.
Oh, really? Military zone?
Yeah, the old nuclear test site.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, look, anywhere out there, permits, and it's bloody remote.
Yep.
Something goes wrong out there, you really are on your own and you really are on your sat phone.
Yeah, righto.
Asking for help.
Yep. All right. So that covers sort of, and we've missed so much. There's
so many desert tracks out there.
Yeah.
And I would love to tick them all off eventually.
I reckon you'd be the man to do it.
I would love to do that. But also love to do it with different company each time. Like,
yeah, show someone else the...
Yeah, I'd love to take...
Four-wheel drive podcast.
Yeah, four-wheel drive podcast. And say do a desert run there and, you know, we get Lembadel's grandson out there.
Yeah, Mitch, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
From Wandering Oz. And why not Owen Douglas? Malcolm Douglas's grandson. That'd be cool to do a desert run out there. Maybe he can retrace his grandfather's steps, and that'll be cool to be part of that.
Yeah.
So there's so many I just want to do out there. Just desert. I love it.
Yeah. Now, if you need help with that, Ronnie,
mate,
I found a website. So australiasnorthwest.com. For anyone wanting to see, in particular, the Pilbara, the Kimberley, it's got plenty of options here. Explore, see, do, places to stay, plan your trip. It's a really clean website on...
Is this just the Pilbara?
No, not just the Pilbara. So Australia's Northwest, including Pilbara and Kimberley. And then like you click on the Pilbara, you've got so many options the Pilbara to help you out.
Big area to cover.
It is a big area to cover. And this is a clean website, by the way. I'll take my hat off to whoever's created this.
Yeah, it's looking nice.
Kimberley the same, all the way up, you know, Gibb River Road, Broome's got their own little section. But just everything you need, even to as far as planning your trip, like it's going to help you with important travel tips, weather and climate, how to get around, I'm assuming, if you don't have a car. So, hire cars, campers and equipment.
Should probably touch on the best time of the year as well.
Yeah, actually, that is a good point, yeah.
Changes a lot.
So, weather and climate, if I click on that, but you explain yours, please.
Yeah, well... yeah, it'd be good to see what the website says as well to back this up. But look, winter's probably the best time to travel the desert. Yeah. It's probably the most pleasant.
It's got the same here.
It can get really, really freaking cold though. Like,
yeah, true.
Next level cold, and then still be more or less hot during the day. But summer, you got two things to worry about: your heat and you got wet season. Oh, actually, three things: humidity.
Yeah,
humidity is something that bangs me around a bit, but.
The heavy heat.
As long as I smash the waters, I'm all good.
Yeah.
It's the wet season. That's the one that can get you unstuck. So February, March, probably not the ideal time to go, that's when we're doing the canning stock route. So.
Yeah, you're mad though. But that's what they've said here. They've even gone into the detail of the cyclones. Through the northwest.
Lucky it's not
I didn't get picked up.
Lucky you can't smell on the pod.
They've got your blue alerts, your yellow alerts, red alerts, which I'd have no idea about what they were. It's just a really clean website to help you out for anything you're wanting to do in that area. It's a ripper. So australiasnorthwest.com, go and check it out. Some awesome photos to go with it too. So whoever's done that, well done. You can get in contact with them as well, which is really cool. So I feel like I want to meet these guys now. But that is one way to get you started. So a place that we both highly recommend, and I've only done a little bit of it, and you've done a lot more than I have, Ronnie. Jaden's from there.
Yep.
So somewhere we all love.
So Jaden, what's your go-to place up there that you're willing to share with us?
It's a real think deep thought.
Every time I go up there, I really like going to Willy Wally Creek.
Ah, Torben keeps telling me that one.
Springs. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what they're calling it now.
Yeah, still but Willy Wally.
Yeah. Just past Newman, and you go through... I mean, when I went there this year, you go through like kind of a mining entry kind of site. But it's quiet. There's not... And it's not particularly like... incredible or anything, but the water's really nice. Easy
there's a to deep crossing there.
It's in the wet season, definitely deep crossing, but it's just such a nice little place to go to, and it brings back memories for me from when I was younger. And
that's awesome.
That's specifically why I like going there. But Willy Wally, and I think it's quiet. I don't think many people know about it.
Yeah. I've only heard about it through Torbs, and you know, Torbs doing a lot of work up there.
Yeah.
So locals are showing them around a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's
It's a difficult one to like to find.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're after, isn't it?
Is, Calvin Pool's another good one.
Yeah, that's one that I've been to that's awesome, not far out of Newman. But that's what we encourage people to do is go and make your own memories like Jaden's got out there.
Calgon Pool's pretty nice. Calgon's is nice. It's pretty popular.
Yeah, I got it to my mate and I got it to ourselves when we were there, which is awesome.
Nice.
Beautiful. Same thing, you wake up, you know, the colours going down and not the colours you wake up to.
Yeah.
Somewhere to swim and a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of four-wheel driving to get in there as well. Nothing too extreme.
But it's more just that last climb.
That last little climb that you have to do. Yeah. Well, you don't actually have to do it, but you have to do it if you do.
It depends how high the water is.
Yeah, well, that's true. It was not high enough when we did it. It was good fun.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I just touching on this website again. I know carrying on about it. We're not...
Big fan.
I am a big fan. A huge fan. And we're not
I only got to see this website.
No loyalties to this.
I'm not sure who they are.
No loyalties to this as well. But this was just a
Well, they've got a 11 places in the Pilbara you didn't know existed list.
Yeah.
That I was having a look at. Do you want to go through those?
We will go through those, but I was just the Outback Road Trip section too is a
that's quite yeah,
that's
good.
That's awesome.
Tropical Island for rent. It's a 20-minute boat trip from Onslow.
Wow.
Direction Island is what it's called.
Yeah, there's heaps of islands
there.
There's
a rustic cabin which sleeps up to 8 people, available for holiday rental by the Mackerel Islands.
Ah,
it's awesome. Python Pool.
There it is.
Yes. There you go. Montebello Islands.
Yep.
Murujuga Rock Art. I don't know if I've said that right. I hope I have. Fern Pool. Obviously, everyone knows about Fern Pool. I don't know why that's there. Minus one to the website. North.
Do they have the recommendation of you know not approaching a waterfall and things like that there?
I
was up there recently. I don't remember seeing a sign that said not to approach the waterfall or anything.
Yeah, because I didn't see one.
It might not be Fern Pool.
Yeah,
maybe
it could be a different one because there's a few waterfalls over there.
Pretty sure I did.
We saw massive bats there too.
Pretty sure you've made it up.
Maybe.
No, I've heard this before. So
yeah. I don't know. Is it Fern Pool that you heard it for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So there's a lower pool, and then there's the upper pool. So it flows down. So the bottom waterfall comes from the spring from the top.
Hammersley?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Hammersley or Fern Pool?
I'm pretty sure I'm talking about...
Is Hammersley the one further on down?
It's Dale's campground, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that is Hammersley
pool,
there too?
Fern Pool's near Dale's campground, but Hammersley is a bit... Like 2 hours away, two-hour drive maybe.
Hammersley's
Fortescue Falls. Tom Price.
Fortescue Falls is right next to Fern Pool.
Yeah, Fortescue Falls.
Yes. Yeah.
Hammersley has the Kermit Pool.
The Kermit Pool.
Yeah.
The small one.
Yeah, the plunge pool. The one we have to do like a spider walk through there.
Yes.
That's cool.
That's cool.
That's Hammersley. Is that the one you're thinking of?
No.
That's not the one I was talking
about. No, so it is Fern Pool. And it's got a little, like a jetty little mini pontoon.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
Where were we going with that?
No, it was just some of the stuff on. About
the significance of the pool when, you know.
I just don't remember seeing any signage.
There are none.
Yeah, right.
but
you're not meant to approach it.
Saw some big fruit bats there. Yeah. Massive fruit bats.
There was a, far out, a decade ago. Probably longer. There was a photo going around of a massive python. What was it? It was a little joey, and it was hanging off. You know the rock, the side of the rock wall had these like little layers and stuff. It was hanging off there, and just in its massive jaws was this little joey, little kangaroo.
Wow.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I didn't go back there for years.
Fair enough, too. Anyway, get around that website is what we'll go into. One other thing that I want to touch on is there's a book that I've read called The Last of the Nomads, which is basically, I read the little blurb here, but Warri and Yatunga, I'm not sure if I'm saying that either quite correctly, but we're believed to be the last of the Mandjadjara tribe of desert nomads to live permanently in the traditional way. And they passed away in the late 1970s, so it's not that long ago.
No,
but it's a great read for anyone that's wanting a little bit more on that area. It might be a little bit south of the East Pilbara, but a great read as well if you want to touch up on some of that stuff.
Is there a little documentary on that as well?
There could be, actually.
Yeah. Going into the Gibson Desert?
Yes, there could be. I think they...
Looks like there's a little documentary on that as well.
Right, yeah, there might be. Yeah, I've read the book though, really good. I'll have to check out that doco. There you go. I think we...
I mean, when you think about it, 1970, 72. If you go back to 1960s, 1970s, white Australians didn't even know about the Bungle Bungle until the 60s or something.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy, yeah. Right? And I know we're not, this is going away from the Pilbara, but talk about the Air Highway, you know. That wasn't tarmac until the 70s.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah, when we're at Canal to Homestead, it didn't feel like that was that, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of didn't feel like it was old, but it wasn't.
Yeah, there weren't like it wasn't like bits of rust on the ground. Yeah, there were actual cars are still there, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's turned quickly.
Yeah.
The 4-wheel drive podcast driven by Shelter.
There's that music again. There's a fire again.
The fire, which we love to hear around the tyre pit. Brought to you by Maxxis. Thank you for being on board.
Every time we say tyre pit and I hit a fire, I'm thinking of like you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. You need to do a signal fire.
Yes, something I learnt.
You burn your stuffed tyre and you got this big black cloud of smoke.
I don't want to sit around that tyre pit, but I'm picturing that because you taught us that.
It was cold.
I would sit around if it was cold, probably.
Yeah.
Smell pretty good afterwards, I reckon.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. It is time for around the tyre pit, though.
Yeah.
So bring it to us,
Here Jayden. We go. First question from Ethan McEwen. Does Duggo have his eyes on the new Auto Troopies?
I do have my eyes on them, yes. Yes, I do have my eyes on them. As Ronnie said at the end of last year, he was big on maybe not needing to scratch that itch of a V8, which I'd spoken about previously too. But the way that Ronnie's talking about them, the 2.8-litre Auto 70 series, it definitely got my ears pricked up.
You want to see weight on it first, don't you?
I do, yeah. I really want you to be... I'm grateful that you're the guinea pig for me.
It's fun.
I'm keen to see it. But I don't know if the Troopy would be the way I go if I was to do it. I think if I was to do it, I would probably go like the car that I'm going to drive for the next 15 years if I pulled the trigger. And I feel like that would be either the 76 or the 79. I just don't know if the Troopy is me long term. I love it and I'd need to do it now, I reckon. But I'm just not sure if it's me long term, especially in the 2.8 litre. Had it been the V8, I could probably see myself long term in that.
Could you, if that makes
sense.
Could you see yourself considering converting it to a 4-seater at some stage if you did delve into
the Troopy?
Yeah,
that is something that I would consider.
Okay.
I didn't know that was a thing until I saw yours.
Yeah.
So definitely the way that you've set yours up in the back, because the reason for getting a Troopy would be so that my partner Lauren and I could use it
more space
for what it's used for, sort of thing.
Carrying the troops.
But when I think about potentially kids in the future, I don't know if the Troopy is what I want at that time, just for the inconvenience of no back doors and all that sort of stuff. So that's where the 79 and the 76. But if the right V8 came in a Troopy and it was just too good to be true, then I might pull the trigger on that.
Would you roof convert the 76?
I don't think so.
Rooftop tent? Swag?
You could roof convert. They look awesome, roof converted.
Yeah, I just don't know if I would do it. See, what if I was to get a 76, I would think about towing, probably. That's where I'm leaning towards.
Caravan, camper trailer?
Yeah.
Start with the camper trailer, probably. I've never towed anything like camper trailer or caravan.
Mm.
I would probably suggest if you're going to tow, do it with a ute.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, the only reason I was going to go 76 to tow was because of the I feel like there's not a lot of space, but you boys have told me that there's enough in the 76 over the time that we've spent together. But
yeah, it's just if you do tow with a 76 or a Troopy, you've got the back doors, and that's
getting you.
I haven't had a problem with that. With the camper that I was tying, like with the back door, you just, it's just the angle that you park on.
You live around it.
Yeah. You live around it and you can deal with it fine. Oh, true, yeah. There's no, there's not, like, it should, I don't think it should be a reason not to get the 76, but it is a good point because it is freaking annoying sometimes.
I mean, it's not a right or wrong thing, is it? Because it depends how you set your car up. Like, if I towed with my Troopy, for example, that wouldn't make sense because the kitchen pool's out the back.
Yeah.
And then why am I towing? Because of the rooftop and all that. But in your case, a 76 will be perfect for towing if you are keeping the back of the 76 empty or just chucking stuff in.
Yeah.
But if you're going to use it as a kitchen and pull out.
Yeah. There you go. No,
That's where I'm going at.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought you just saw it. Yeah.
That's almost what sometimes stops me in a way. Obviously, there's other probably bigger things that stop me, but I'm not sure what one I would go, and I'm not sure what the perfect kit out for me is.
Yeah.
So that's why it's cool having a look around at the shows and stuff like that to see what. So Salty Davenport's Troopy is probably my ideal setup of a Troopy. He's kept his back seats. He's got a really awesome clean setup in the back. He's got his boat on the back at the moment. Rooftop tent, so he hasn't roof converted it. But that's probably, when I was going through that with him, I said that's probably the ideal fit out for me
for your situation,
because he's kept the back seats, which I love. So yeah, what was the fella's name that asked the question?
Hang on, let me get it up again.
Ethan McEwen. So I don't want Ethan to hold me to anything that I've said here because I could easily be swayed either way, but I've definitely got my eyes on him. There's no doubt about that.
But not only that, Duggo, the perfect setup always evolves.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you are right. Situations change. Yes. Ideas change.
Yep.
It's an evolving thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, yes.
You look like a tormented man.
I am at the moment because I constantly play with the idea. Like I love the car that I'm in is the thing though. So that's why the other big reason that I'm...
Which is a ute, right?
Like, which is a ute. And that's the other reason I don't pull the trigger on anything else is because I love the car that I'm driving currently.
Because it's a ute?
I do like, yes, that works for me too at the moment. And I think that a ute will always work to me. So it would have to be something pretty good on the 76. The Troopy's different. Like, that's just like a dream.
I think
that's a wild dream.
Troopy's like a set style though. Yeah. It's like a set way of camping.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and that's the thing. I just don't know if I could, use that for like the thing that a Troopy is built for. I don't know if I can get the full use out of it for what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, at the moment, you're kind of stuck around the city a lot, aren't you?
Yes.
The 76 would make the most sense.
Yes.
For city kind of driving with the...
Prado will make more sense.
A Prado would make more sense. But if we're talking 76...
Yeah.
It is a Prado, isn't it, mate?
You're right, though.
You're allowed to have the car you want.
You are right, Jaden, yeah.
So some people prefer the 70, other people don't get it. And if they don't get it, they're never going to get it because it's just not for them. So.
But what I don't get is the 2.8 litre. 70 series being more expensive than the 2.8 litre Prado. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've talked about that.
But before we go any further, so if you have a 79 series dual cab and you have the 76 wagon, if you had a canopy set up on the back of the 79, you can work from the sides.
Yes.
And you still got your 5 seats. With the 76, it's shorter. You got more roof rack space. If you're not going to use the back to do all that, kitchens and all that stuff, then either can work. But with the 79, with the ute, you can change it. You can, I'm sick of the canopy. I'm towing now, so get rid of the canopy. Yeah.
Got the tray back.
Yeah.
That is something that is probably... Again, it's the price point of buying a 79, then buying a full box canopy to set up as well, which is north of 15 grand for a really quality...
Yeah. Depending what you want to do, though.
Yes. If you keep it open and just buy the frame, then it's probably...
I could see your setup on your Ranger on the back of a 79. If I was going to do another 79,
that's what Lekker had. Good mate of mine, Jamie, had as well. So I've seen that work. Part of the reason why I got what I did was what Lekker had done to his 79 at the time. Yeah.
Versatile.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Your setup is nice.
Yeah. It's just those long trips on dust, long trips through the Pilbara. That's like you're going to be emptying everything out. And
The dust. And
you got to bring like a blower with you to.
But that's easier to do than like if you get dust and red dirt in a 76 in the back.
Absolutely.
You can't hose that down.
That's the thing. It's not in the car.
Unless you're to work, mate.
Yeah.
Which I do, so.
Great question. Well, actually, can of worms. Can of worms there by Ethan.
I would say 76. Like that seems to be.
Yeah.
Generally, like, yeah.
I just worry about that. I do still worry about the space.
Generally speaking, a longer wheelbase does tow better in certain situations.
Yeah.
But
it's just like Jayden, for everything you said, like
living proof towing with a 76 doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, you can set it up for it.
Yeah. It's not like you can't tow.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like you're not limited to anything. No matter what car you really get, you're not really limited. And here you've got a man sitting in front of you, he's got all three types.
Yeah.
76, 78, 79.
Can I just come and take my pick? From your
mate, yard. Well, here we go. He's leaning towards 76 as well. Like he's literally thinking about getting rid of 79.
Yeah. Just come to Ronnie's Land Cruiser Rentals. Yeah. take the tribute whenever you want, mate. Absolutely. You know.
Oh, that's good. Oi, that's it. LJR.
LJR. Oh,
this is what the business is.
There we go. That's
were we saying something different before? We were saying LDR. Oh, that was last year.
You were saying LDR.
Oh, you were saying DDE.
Yeah, DDE.
DDE.
I still think is a wrestling move. Anyway, the next question around the fire pit. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. That was one question.
We got one more.
WDE.
Yeah, we got into that one.
40.
Jeez. What is... sorry. Sean apparently calls it DW40.
Sean from Mission.
Displacement Water 40.
He calls it DW40.
Stands for Don't Worry 40. Just put it on.
Don't worry. Just put it on.
It'll work.
Anyway, this one, Jasper Young. Hey, I'm interested in hearing your discussion on this topic. Have you tried a vehicle fitted with a central tire inflation system before? Specifically one you can use on the fly with constant monitoring. What do you think the price of a central tire inflation system would be? How cheap would you need it to be before you consider installing it? And what do you think the pros and cons are?
We saw one of these at the show, didn't we?
We did. We had a look at one of these, but I didn't know.
It wasn't on the market yet.
I didn't know it was on the market. I've never heard of them before.
No.
I always thought it was a good idea, but is it something that...
I still can't mechanically or get my... like
wrap your head around it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because the wheel rotates. I know they can do it, but how are they doing it? Like... because you got to have the line to come into the wheel.
Saying, like, how does it not wrap up? And
Like how does it connect? And so it must just go to a connection that can, I don't know.
It
I don't know how
sense,
to do
does it.
Yeah. I mean, if one, like, if they...
wouldn't be cheap, I'd imagine.
But I feel like you'd pay good money. If it was tested and proven and, like, it's a pretty good idea.
You'd become something like diff lockers, wouldn't it? Like... something that would improve your...
That concept 6x6 G-Wagon that was on Top Gear. You know, when the OG Top Gear crew were there.
The originals. I don't think I've seen the 6x6 G-Wagon.
You drove it through like a swimming pool and stuff. Wow. I know it's all set up, but it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And that had the inflation system. They obviously sped it up
because
the tires were freaking huge and he just like sat there, done.
Yeah.
But it would have taken a while.
I can imagine how cool that would be just like rolling up. You're about to hit the sand and you just like just let them down all four at one time and you just cruise. Just like switching my dial into four high. I'm just hit the button to drop my tires down to 20 or whatever I want to go to.
It would be cool, but I also think that you then, because when I air up and down, or more mainly when I air up and I've done some wheeling where I might have hit something, I generally, that's my time to look underneath the vehicle. So I do feel that if you had all that, there'll be a lot of things you might miss. I don't know.
Well, let's throw a number out there then. Say it was tested, proven, works really well.
I'd say it'd be like, I don't know, not understanding how it works. It could be very simple.
Yep.
I'd say probably at least $5,000, $6,000to set that up.
I'd say four.
Yeah. I'd say upwards of, four and upwards.
But I'd have no idea. Like you say, I've got no idea how it would operate. But.
I don't know either. I know military Hummers have them, I guess.
Yeah.
Some Unimogs have them.
Yeah, right.
And then that G-Wagon.
Yeah. Well, the guy, we did speak to the guy, and I apologies, I forget what the brand was, but
possibly TRT,
maybe, yeah. But it, you know,
TRT.
No, that was it did look cool. It did look cool. So it'd be cool to see them. Maybe you can just throw it on the 76, mate.
Well, they were. The one that we saw was only doing it for 70 series, wasn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, what the hell? Mortgage is already, it can't look any worse, can it?
Now this 48-volt Toyota Hilux that you were talking about at the end of last year is coming out.
Yeah.
It looks like, I've just had a little Google, it looks like a lot of trucks use them.
LJR.
Michelin has a tyre inflation system.
Ronnie's just coming up with a new around the tyre pits. Like,
yeah,
you have to get cow and mix the
farmers. Yeah, we're getting new.
Farmers might use them a bit.
Yeah, Jade's still working.
I'm locked in on this. Hey,
have we put together a podcast there, Jaden?
Yeah, have we got another question?
I hope so. We've pressed been here forward, a while,
haven't we?
Yeah, sorry.
I think Jaden's in process of ordering the self-inflation system.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just about to press request a call on the Michelin site, but let me close that before we get too deep. Yeah,
we're going to wrap it up.
I think that's it. That's all the fire pit questions I've got. The fire has died as well.
Yeah, it's gone out. That's no worries. It was only a small tyre and it wasn't.
Yeah. So.
Didn't have much tread left, but.
No.
Did we get rescued in the end?
I'm going to say we did.
Okay.
Yeah. Nina found us down there in the, wherever your favourite place in WA is.
The far east.
Let's not get him started.
Okay, I've missed it.
All right, Southern Riverland, get us out of here. Let it ride. Four Wheel Drive Podcast on Instagram. Send us a message. Even give us a call. Jaden's going to sort that out soon for us. But all our episodes over on YouTube. Backchat Studios, where you'll find us.
Ciao bonga.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.